Whitey break for the field. Whitey Ford has not yet come out. I don't know whether we'll get the anthem until he does. Fans are standing, and here is our national anthem. And the start of the ball game. The Yankees defensively tonight have McDougal back at third base, Tony Kubek at short, Bobby Richardson, who seemed to profit by the little rest he was given, is back in the familiar second base spot. At first base, Bill Scarron. Hector Lopez, who has been hitting extremely well of late, is in left field. In center field, Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris, whose home run bat has been the Yankees' most effective offensive weapon, is in right. Howard catching and Whitey Ford pitching. Jim Landis will lead off for the Chicago White Sox, with Nellie Fox to follow, and then Minnie Minoso. White Sox have gotten off to a rather slow start, though they have not bothered to any great extent. They are right up there in the race, but their pitching has come around rather slowly, particularly early Wynn has been a bit slow in coming around, as well as in some other areas, notably Dick Donovan and whatnot. The White Sox appear to be straightening out and will be making an attempt to have a successful Eastern invasion against the Yankees and the Red Sox when they play. Jim Landis steps into the batter's box. Right-handed hitter, Whitey Ford, set to deliver the first pitch of tonight's ball game. Ford into the lineup, and the first pitch is low, ball one. Mel Allen handling the play-by-play for you tonight, and we'll be joining him in just one moment. Plate umpire Larry Knapp wants to examine that baseball. It bounced away from Elston Howard and was ground into the dirt, but it's all right. One ball and no strikes to Jim Landis. The windup and the next pitch is swung on, hit on one bounce to third base. McDougal goes to first in time, and there's one away. Now here's Mel Allen.
One up and one down. Now the American League's most valuable player last year, Nelson Fox, hitting .271. Most recently, he's had 8 for 28 for a .286 average. The White Sox, with the innovation of the names on the back of the uniform shirt. Fox in close to the plate with that thick-handled bat. He chokes up on it. McDougal in close at third. The wind-up, the pitch. Curveball outside, ball one. Outfield, well spread out. Shallow in left and center, deeper in right. Fox shaded a little to left center. Whitey Ford leans forward again to the windup. Around comes the left arm and the pitch. Low and inside. Ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Ford won his first start against the Orioles April 22nd, 5-0. Then he lost to Washington 5-4. In his next two starts against Detroit and Washington, he was not involved in the decisions. So the Yankees won the two games. And the White Sox beat him 5-3. He beat Baltimore 2-0 and lost to them 3-2. So he's 2-3 on the season. The 2-0 pitch. It's inside, ball three, 3-0. Whitey's earned run average is much better, of course, in his record. He's the leading pitcher on the team in the earned run average department with 2.51 per game. His next pitch is over for a strike, 3-1. Whitey has worked 43 in the third innings, allowed 38 hits. Walked 15, struck out 16. Given up four homers, however. The 3-1 delivery to Fox in there, strike two. Three balls, two strikes. Ford studying Howard's sign. Swings to the windup, and the payoff pitch is swung on, lined into center. Mantle moves in and makes the catch. Two away. And here's Minnie Minoso. The ageless wonder, as it were, hitting 318. Currently 8 for 23, batting 348 over the last week. About 40 years old, really. He's played a lot of baseball. Right-hand hitter, Ford's pitch, curveball inside, ball one. According to the figures, he should be 38 in November. The 1-0 pitch to Minnie. Change up is low. Ball two. Ted Kluszewski on deck. The 2-0 delivery to Minnie. Swung on. There's a drive into deep left center. Mantle going back. Still going back and makes the catch. To hit that one deep. That's close to 400 feet away, but straight away. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of the first half of the first inning, Chicago nothing, New York coming to bat.
To be crisp, a beer must be ice and light. With two lager flavors, precisely right. Lively, golden, crystal clear, the crisp refresher, found by Valentine's beer. Hey, get your cold beer. Hey, get your Valentine. Hey, get your cold, cold beer. Get your ice cold Valentine beer. Get your ice cold Valentine beer.
Half the first inning. Bobby Richardson leading off. Hector Lopez on deck and Roger Maris to follow. Richardson hitting 219. Last week, Bobby had 2 for 12 for a 167 average. Minoso in left, Landis in center, Smith in right. Playing Richardson straight away. The pitch from Pierce is swung on line, out over second into center for a base hit. Jim Landis whips his throw back into Fox, and Richardson just poked out and missed the fastball. Without a hard swing, he just flicked at the ball. Now here's Hector Lopez. Hitting 304. He had 11 for 21 last week for a 524 average. Pitch is bunted at, and it's a fair ball to throw down to second for one. The ball is lost and picked up in time. That was a play. Richardson thought the ball might have been foul and then decided to keep on running. The ball was right out in front of the plate. Lawler whipped his throw on down. It was dropped by Aparicio, but he picked it up again in time for the force on Richardson. Now Roger Maris comes up, hitting .338 on the season. 10 for 25 last week for a 400 pace. One on and one out. Pierce to the stretch. The pitch to Maris is inside. Ball one. The attempted sacrifice by Lopez results in a force of Richardson. He actually is bunting for a base hit. And third baseman deep. Here's the delivery. Curveball over for a strike. One and one. Gene Priest shortened up at third, wide of the bag. Aparicio with his left wrist tape playing way over toward second. Now the pitch. Swung on there as they drive in the center for a base hit. And Lopez stops at second. Maris singles to center, sending Lopez to second and bringing up Bill Scarron. And the fans holler Moose. His cap off, brushes his hair back. Outfield deep for Scarron straight away. Infield at double play depth. Runners lead away from first and second. One out, the pitch. In there for a strike, fastball. Again, the stretch. And the pitch. Inside for a ball. One and one. One ball, one strike. Runners lead away. And the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. Threw a slider in on the fist of the Moose. Two strikes. One out. Lopez leads off second. Maris off first. Fox trying to sneak in over, take a pickoff throw. And the pitch. Swung on and fouled back to the screen. A 1-2 count. Again to the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled off behind the plate. One ball, two strikes. Taking plenty of time. Now is to the stretch. The runners lead away from first and second. The pitch to Scarron. Swung on. Little roller to third. Freeze up with it. Throws over to Fox for one. And Maris takes him out of the play. Maris with a body block. Rolled him off. And he didn't throw to first. A force out at second. Scarron safe at first on the force out at second. Freeze to Fox. Two down. And here's Mickey Mantle. Batting .237. Bear steps off the rubber. Two men down. And the pitch. Swung on. The bouncer hits the third. Freeze throws over to Fox, forcing Scarron, and the side's retired. No runs. Two hits. No errors. And two men left on base. At the end of the first inning, Chicago nothing, and New York nothing. White Sox are here again tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday night, and Thursday afternoon, a four-game series. The Cleveland Indians come in on Friday night. There's a Ladies' Day Saturday afternoon, and a Sunday doubleheader to wind up the current homestand. Tickets available here at the stadium all day long. 9 to 5 every day, whether the Yankees are home or away, they're open. And, of course, later at home for the night games. Midtown Ticket Office, Grand Central Terminal. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 6. Saturday, 8:30 to 4. And you can purchase tickets at the Weber Heilbronner stores in the metropolitan area. You can also order by mail. Just write to the Yankee Ticket Director, Yankee Stadium, the Bronx, 51, New York. Box seats, 3.5. Reserve seats, 2.5. Add 25 cents to your total order for mailing charges. The first half of the second inning. By the way, don't forget the Yankee-Dodger get-together on the night of June 27th for charity. Ted Kluszewski at bat, hitting .316. Ford's pitch, low outside, ball one. Kluszewski didn't play too much last week, at 2-for-6. Righty to the windup, and the pitch. It's in there, strike one, 1-1. It's a 1-1 pitch. Curve over. Beautiful, slow curve. Strike two, 1-2. Field round to the right. Now the 1-2 delivery. Swung on, a ground ball hits the second. Richardson up with it, throws to Scarron, and there's one away. Here's Gene Freese, batting .231. Freese was out of action for a while. During this past week, though, he had 8-for-26 for a .308 average. Ford into the windup, and the pitch to the right-hand batter. Inside, ball one. No score, second inning. And the 1-0 pitch on its way. Changeup is outside. Ball two. 2-0. Ford spikes it. Caught on the mound. He looked down to see what happened. The 2-0 delivery. Fastball is low, ball three. Actually, it's a sinker. 3-0. The 3-0 delivery. Outside for ball four. Freeze walks. And here now is Sherman Lawler. Batting .292. At 6-for-19 during last week for a .316 average. First figure is the season average. Ford checks the runner. again. The pitch to Lawler. Low, ball one. Al Smith on deck. Whitey again to the stretch. Freese leads off first. Moved to first base and Freese is back. Whitey doesn't catch many off anymore. Now they know he's got that good move. Here's the pitch. Curve is swung on, hits foul, back of first. On the other hand, they don't take too much of a lead on him. So he still gains the advantage of a step or so in the event of a ground ball or an infielder. One ball, one strike, one out, one on. Whitey taking plenty of time. Looks for the sign and steps off. Goes to the rosin bag. Comes back on. Then Lawler steps out. Needs a little maneuvers. The one to try and distract the hitter. The hitter moving out then to try and perturb the pitcher. Now we're ready. And the pitch. There goes the runner. It's a line drive. McDougal can't hold it. The ball is flexed over to Kubek, and it's a base hit for Lawler. Almost had a double play as Freese was off and running with the pitch, and the line drive just to McDougal's left hit in the palm of the glove and spun out over toward Kubek. So it's a base hit for Lawler. Runners on first and second now, one out, and here's Al Smith batting 312. 312 is his season average. The past week, 333 with 8 for 24. All the White Sox have been picking up and hitting. Here's the pitch. Inside, ball one. He's on second. Lawler on first. One away in the second inning. Whitey to his stretch. And the pitch. Swung on. Little roller down the third baseline. Twist foul. The runners return. Freese to second. Lawler to first. And Smith comes back to the plate. Louis Aparicio on deck. A 1-1 count on Smitty. Outfield, a little bit toward left, not too much, almost straight away. Freese moves off second, Lawler off first. Scarron playing back deep. Now it cuts over toward first base. Pulling Lawler back, and Ford steps off the rubber. Howard didn't know whether to put the play on or not. You can see that they're waiting for him to put the play on so they could start a count for a pickoff. Again, the stretch. Runners lead away the pitch, and Smith takes it outside. A bluff down, throw down to first. 2-1. Bluff of a throw. It would have been easier to have said Howard bluffs the runner back to first. Now we're set. The 2-1 pitch is a curve hit through deep right field. Maris going over, and he makes the catch. The runners return to their respective bases. Smith slices a liner to right toward the line, and Maris ran over to grab it. Here's Louis Aparicio. Bob Shepard, our public address announcer, who is a very fine a teacher and speech teacher, too, gave it the full treatment. Luis Aparicio. Little Louie has the left wrist taped. Right-hand batter. The pitch swung on. It's a high fly ball into short center. Mantle under it, waiting, and makes the catch, and the side's retired. Louie was hitting 234 on the season, but 280 this past week with a 7 for 25. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two left on. End of an inning and a half. Chicago nothing, New York nothing. 1-1, make two. You have to start with that, don't you? Unless you want to, you know, get it into fractions. But when it comes to, you know, full things, good round numbers, you have to have 1 plus 1. Now, that's a generalization. I know this, though. It always takes two things to make a great beer. Lightness is fine, but lightness alone won't do it. To really refresh, your beer must have lightness plus flavor. And that's your cue to ask the man for the crisp, refresher Ballantine beer. Proves to more people every day that a beer can be light and still give you all the lager beer flavor you want. So if you drink beer for taste and refreshment, Ballantine's the beer for you. Try it. See for yourself why Ballantine's the most popular beer from Maine to Florida. The largest selling beer in the East. Treat yourself to the crisp refresher right now. And right now, Elston Howard is at bat in the last half of the second inning. McDougal and Kubek to follow. Billy Pierce to the windup. The pitch in there for a strike. Billy, who has won 4 in the last 2, has shown flashes of his peak form this season. The one strike delivery swung on. There's a drive hit to right field into the corner, and it is going there. Howard around first on his way to second. The throw is not in time. A double for Howard into the right field corner. We had to hold up on that ball that had landed. Two questions. Was it going to be fair, and was it going to go into the stands or fall short of them? Howard, hitting 252, opens with a double, his 7th two-bagger. Now Gil McDougal, hitting 233. Had a bad week last week, only had 2 for 21. Pierce delivers to Gil, who swings and fouls it off upstairs, strike one. Three-year-old Billy Pierce. He's been one of the top pitching stars of the majors for quite a while. All set to work. And the delivery. High for a ball. In 1956, Billy won 20 games. He won 20 in 1957. 1958, he won 17 games. And last year, he dropped down to 14. The 1-1 pitch. Swung on, a slow hopper to third. Howard holds second, frees up with it, throws to first, and almost pulls Krasuski off, but he didn't. So McDougal grounds out to freeze with no advance on a slow hopper. Now here's Tony Kubek, batting 288. Last week he had 10 for 40. 1 for 4 pace last week, a 250 average. Nellie Fox tried to pull the hidden ball trick on Howard. Ran in to talk to Pierce and took the ball from him. Billy monkeyed around the mound before, you know, he couldn't step on the rubber. That had been a ball. Couldn't take his pitching position. But Frank Grissetti and Bill Dickey were alert. Now we're set. The pitch swung on, little roller hit to second. Fox up with it, throws to Krasuski. Kubek is out. Howard advanced to third. Now Whitey Ford coming up with two outs and a runner on third. Corsetti is talking to Howard, pointing out how he could have gone to third on McDougal's roller. He could have come so far off second, then when he saw Freese cut loose, he could have bolted to third and made it easily. Which, of course, either brought a run in, possibly could have brought a run in on Kubek's grounder. Here's a pitch to Ford. It's in there for a strike. It's rare, but not necessarily unusual that a manager would pull his infield in an early inning of a tie game. Here's the pitch, and it's low outside for ball one and one. Whitey with 1-for-11, hitting 91. 0-9-1. A 0-9-1. The 1-1 pitch to Ford. Inside, ball two, 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Here's to the windup, delivers, and Ford swings and misses. Strike two. Good curveball. And the 2-2 pitch. Outside, ball three. 3-2. Billy Pierce not taking any chances with anybody, which is a smart approach for a pitcher with a runner on third in a tie game. Not giving Whitey much to look at, and then himself trying to cut a corner has fallen into a 3-2 count, and the payoff pitch swung on. There's a drive to right field. Smith going back to the barrier and makes the catch. Whitey Ford almost hit one into the seat. He's about 5 feet away. And the side's retired. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. At the end of two innings, it's no score. The Yankees have three hits. The White Sox won. Both teams errorless. The White Sox have left two men on. The Yankees have stranded three. On the Ballantyne scoreboard in the American League, Baltimore leads Washington. At the end of an inning, 1-0. Estrada against Cott. And in the only game scheduled in the National League, Philadelphia at St. Louis, no report. Before we move into the third inning, we pause slowly for station identification.
Quality Modern WOKO 1460 on your radio dial here in the capital city of Albany, New York.
In the third inning, the White Sox will have Billy Pierce leading off, then Jim Landis and Nelson Fox. Day game here tomorrow, and we hope you'll be able to make it. Billy Pierce at bat. The pitch is outside, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Pierce hitting 167 with 3-for-18. Takes the strike, 1-1. The 1-1 pitch. Curve is inside, ball two, 2-1. There's been many a wonderful duel between Pierce and Ford through the years. The 2-1 delivery, fastball is lifted up into left center. Mantle moves over and makes the catch in between Kubek and Lopez. One down, and up comes the leadoff man, Jim Landis. Landis grounded out to third in the first inning. Whitey Ford gets the sign from Howard, swings to the windup, and the pitch. Inside around the knees, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Outfield well spread out, protecting the foul lines on left and right, giving him the gaps. The next pitch is inside under the hands, ball two. A 2-0 count. Landis has picked up in his hitting lately. The 2-0 offering swung on, hit the third. McDougal has it. Throws quickly on to Scarron to get the fleet-footed Landis, who twice in a row now has grounded out to third base. Nelson Fox lined to center in the first inning. Fox taking a lot of time getting himself ready to. Nice set. Stands in, crowd in the plate. Ford to the windup and the pitch. Curveball outside, ball one. Little Foxy's worked hard to make himself a top ball player. The 1-0 delivery. Sidearm fastball hit into deep center. Mantle going back, still going back, and makes the catch. Mickey stumbled after he caught the ball. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of 2.5 innings, Chicago 0, New York 0. Third inning. Top of the Yankee order, Bobby Richardson, Hector Lopez, and Roger Maris. Billy Pierce swings for the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch swung on. There's the drive, but it is going to go foul to the left field seat. Strike one. Bobby, just way out in front, but pulled it a little too much. Just a strike. Bobby feel 9 feet tall then. Here's into the windup, and the pitch is strike two. Made him bite at a high fastball. Richardson trying to check his swing. Now Lawler goes out to say something to Pierce. Said to him, well, I guess we got two strikes on him to begin with. Nothing in two. Pierce into the windup and the pitch. Richardson swings and hits a pop fly in the short left. Out goes Aparicio to grab it. Aparicio slips into short left center to take Richardson's pop. One down. Now Hector Lopez. Punted in the first inning and forced Richardson at second. This is the 53rd birthday today of Bill Dickey coaching at first base. Now the pitch. Inside for ball. The Hall of Famer, considered by many the best catcher of all time. There's some who figured it was Mickey Cochran, some Gabby Hartnett. Some have other favorites. In comes the pitch, and it's into the dirt, gets away. Ball two. When you start to consider the best of all time, and you've got a lot of great ones, it's pretty rough. But you have to consider every aspect of the game. Not alone, the art of receiving, but the ability to hit. What kind of hitter? Been many great receivers. Of course, there's a guy like Ray Schalk. Maybe he was the best. But by and large, Malcolm Dickey gets most of the votes. Here's the pitch, and it's in there for a strike. 2-1. Ball players, though, will set in, which is a true tourist observation. They're all, really good. The 2-1 pitch, change up in there, strike two. But when you get the real great ones, Monk just leave them there, put them in the bracket. They were the top ones. The 2-2 pitch, swung on, foul tipped and dropped. Count remains 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Pierce into his windup and the pitch. Swung on and lost it over second to right center for a base hit. Lopez holds up after the turn. I'll tell you what he did. He'd already started his swing. He was looking for the fastball, and he got a real slow change of pace. He stopped his swing and then punched the ball over second. Lopez singles to right center. Now Roger Maris, who singled to center in the first inning. One on, one out. Billy Pierce's pitch, low outside, ball one. Ready, and the pitch. Low outside, ball two. Maris has a look at Crescetti. Now the 2-0 pitch is low outside, ball three. 3-0. Again, Maris takes a look down at Crow. Three balls, no strikes. Pierce delivers. Outside the ball four. Lopez moves on to second. First ball given up by Pierce. And here's Gara. Who fourth. Maris is second base in the first inning. With his slow bounder to third. Here's the end of the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on as a base hit to left field. Lopez turns third, heads for home, and comes on in to score as Maris stops at second. Five hits before they came up with a one run. Man Randall, batting right-handed, grounded to third in the first inning. First is delivery. Inside, ball one. One ball, no strike. Delivers. Swung on. There's a smash. A great stop by Aparicio from the second. And they get him at second base. What a great play by Aparicio. Louis Aparicio went way in the hole. Made an acrobatic backhand grab of a hard hit ball, raised up and then fired to Fox, the fourth, Gallant, taking a base hit away from Mantle and a run from the Yankees, because otherwise it would have been through into left field and Maris could have scored easily. A spectacular play by a great shortstop. And now here's Elston Howard with two outs, Maris on third and Mantle on first. What a play that Aparicio made. Wow-wee. Cole Pierce out of a jam, I'll tell you. The pitch to Howard is low and inside for a ball. Outside, ball two. Two balls, no strikes. That play had the fans standing up and applauding. An appreciative ovation. Here's the delivery, and it's blowing inside, ball three. 3-0. Actually flung himself at that ball headlong. Glove outstretched. Just great. 3-0 pitch is over. Strike one. Frame one. Three balls, one strike. Maris on third. Mantle on first. Two away. Here's to the stretch. There goes Mantle. The pitch is swung on and popped up. Aparicio backed up on the grass, waiting, and makes the catch. And the side is retired. One run for New York. Two hits. No errors. Two left arm. A hand for Aparicio. At the end of three innings, the Yankees one run, five hits, no errors. Five left on. The White Sox, no runs, one hit, no errors, and two men left on base. Baltimore leading Washington 1-0, end of two innings, Estrada and Cott. And in the only, that's the only other game in the American League, and the only game in the National League, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Chris Short against Larry Jackson. Game about to begin. Don't forget the, night game with the White Sox Wednesday night. Meantime, day games Tuesday and Thursday. Indians Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and doubleheader on Sunday. Before we turn the microphone over to the scooter to carry on, might be a good idea if we pause for station identification.
Okay, we're ready to go, and then Minoso steps out of the box. While Minnie's out of the box, here's a thirst-quenching idea. Just amble over to your refrigerator, draw out a frosty bottle of the crisp, refresher Ballantine beer. Then treat yourself to the light beer with two lager flavor. Ballantine beer, the crisp refresher. Minoso takes a curveball low. One ball, no strikes on Minnie, who fly deep to center field in the first inning. Ford's next pitch is outside and low, ball two, 2-0. Yankees won and the White Sox nothing in the top of the fourth inning. First game of a big four-game series with the Chicago White Sox. Play tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday night, and again Thursday afternoon. Fastball is in there, strike called. Tomorrow it'll be Jim Coates against Early Wynn. Low curve over, strike two. 2-2 the count. On deck is Big Ted Krasuski. Boy, this is a beautiful night for a ball game. Many digging into the plate. A severe crouch. The 2-2 pitch is popped in the air and back of the shortstop. Kubek moving back to short left field. Under it and makes the catch. Bill Scarron was down at second base as Richardson had gone out with the pop fly, leaving second base unprotected. The Moose was on his toes, one away, as Minoso pops out to Kubek. And that brings up Ted Krasuski, who bounced out to second base, his first time at bat. Deck is Gene Freeze. Tony Cuccinello, the coach at third, and Don Gutteridge over at first. Pitch to Clue is on the outside corner, strike one, and Krasuski turns around and looks at Larry Knapp, and if he looked at me that way, I'd run right out of the ballpark. Clue was not happy with that call. They straightened that letter out on the back of Krasuski's shirt. You know, the White Sox have their names on the back of their traveling uniforms. Last time Clue was in here, the Z was backwards. One strike on Krasuski. Fastball in the dirt, ball one, 1-1. Is blowing out towards right field. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Sidearm pitch. Swung at it. Missed, strike two. And Krasuski went all the way around and drew a big ooh and ah out of the crowd. Two strikes on Krasuski. Here's Whitey into the windup. Fastball swung at it. Missed, strike three. Krasuski goes down swinging. The first strikeout for Whitey Ford. And with two out, here's Gene Freeze, who walked in the second inning. He was the first man to get on base against Ford. Yankees won, White Sox nothing. In the top of the fourth inning. Freeze has been hurt twice this year with a full muscle in his right leg. It's a curve foul ball. McDougal had it and fires to first, but both the plate umpire and third base umpire yelled foul. Freeze is not a big fellow. As big fellows go, he's 5'10", 185 pounds. But he's got plenty of power. Had 23 homers and 70 runs batted in last year for the Philadelphia Phillies. The one strike pitch. Curve hit in the ground to the shortstop. Kubek up with it in the hole. The long throw. In time to get Freeze. So the White Sox are down 1-2-3 here in the top of the fourth. Nothing across. The score at the end of 3.5 innings, the Yankees 1 and the White Sox nothing. Well, there they are, the Yankees and the White Sox. You ever see a baseball game with just one team? Of course not. It naturally takes two teams to play a game. And it's the same with beer. Lightness is fine, but that's just half of it. To really refresh, a beer must have lightness plus flavor. And that's where the crisp refresher Ballantine beer comes in. It proves to more people every day that a beer can be light and still give you all the honest-to-goodness lager beer flavor you want. Yes, sir, Ballantine's a light beer with true lager flavor. And that satisfying combination of lightness and flavor makes Ballantine a crisp refresher. So, if lightness alone won't do for you, and if you want a beer with flavor too, then, mister, just make the good old three-ring sign and ask the man for Ballantine. Enjoy the crisp refresher tonight. Enjoying this ball game, that's for sure. These two teams always battle one another, the Yankees and the White Sox. Billy Pierce will be pitching to the bottom three of the Yankee batting order. Gil McDougal, Tony Kubek, and Whitey Ford here in the bottom of the fourth. Gil bounced to third his first time at bat. The Yankees lead 1-0. Crissetti coaching at third. Bill Dickey over at first. And it's Sweet Williams' birthday today. Pitch to McDougal is a curve, a little bit low, ball one. The 1-0 pitch is swung at and missed, strike one, 1-1. And Gill goes all the way around and gives Larry Knapp another plate cleaning job. Every time Gil swings and misses a pitch, he walks right around the plate and over it, picks dirt all over it. One pitch is a curve inside, ball two, 2-1. Takes time to take his cap off, dry his hands. Now he's ready. The left-hander winds up. Curve foul just below it. 2-2 the count. Nobody out, nobody on here in the bottom of the fourth. Yankees 1, White Sox nothing. The 2-2 pitch is hit in the ground to the shortstop. Aparicio up with it. Over to Kwasniewski and it's one away. Little Louie sparkling a field, and it's just early in the game. That play he made on Mantle has to get down as one of the greatest plays we've ever seen. Of course, if there'd been nobody on the first base, Louie would have never thrown Mantle out, but it was a great play even getting the fourth at second. Pitch to Kubek. Curve bunted down the third base line, and no chance as Freeze picked it up and threw right into the dirt. You could see Gene hesitate. He wanted to let it roll because he knew he couldn't get Kubek. Then the ball started to come in on the grass. He decided to pick it up and threw right straight down in the ground. A bunt single by Kubek. Hit number six off Billy Pierce. Brings up Whitey Ford, who fly deep to right field in the second inning. Kwasniewski holding first against Kubek. The White Sox infield looking for the sacrifice. The stretch. The pitch is bunted out and missed. Strike one. But with Kwasniewski charging in, there was nobody to take the throw at first, as Kubek has taken two or three steps towards second base. Yankees lead 1-0, but they're looking to pick up another insurance run. On deck is Bobby Richardson. Freeze is way in at third base. Whitey could slap one right by him. Here's the stretch. The pitch is over strike two as Whitey took the curveball. He started to back away from the plate, but the pitch broke over. Nothing in two on four. Whitey looks down at Crisetti. The bunt could still be on, even though there were two strikes on Whitey. Here's the stretch. The pitch, he swings and fouls it off to the right of the plate. Nothing in two, the count. Again, Whitey looks down at Crisetti. Here's the stretch. The pitch is hit on the ground at second base. And Fox throws to Pierce covering in time to get Whitey forward. The reason Pierce had a cover was because Suzuki broke to his right, couldn't get the ball, left first unguarded. But Pierce was on the ball. That play going from 4-1 from the second baseman to the pitcher covering. Kubek moved to second. So Ford did the job, even though he didn't bunt successfully. Got the man down in scoring position. Here's Bobby Richardson, who singled a center. And then after just missing a home run, foul way back in the left field seats, he popped up to the shortstop. 2 minute out. Kubek, big lead off second. The stretch, the pitch to Richardson is hit foul outside of third, strike one. And I missed strike two. Nothing in two on Bobby. On deck, Hector Lopez. Richardson steps back and picks up some dirt. Again, the stretch by Pierce. The curve is hit foul outside of third again. Kubek at second. Yankees lead 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Nothing in two on Richardson. Pierce stretches, looks back at Kubek. His pitch in the dirt gets away from Lala, and there was the wildest pitch I've seen in a long time as Billy Pierce threw that ball. I'll bet. Well, let's see. The pitcher's box to home plate is 60 feet 6 inches, and Pierce threw that ball just 30 feet 3 inches, halfway between the pitcher's box and home plate. And Lala was so surprised, he just got his glove up in time to ward off the ball. It bounded all the way back, almost where Billy Pierce was. Kubek easily went to third. That's got to go as a wild pitch. One of the wildest. Now it's 1-2 on Bobby Richardson. The full windup by Pierce. The pitch is hit on the ground to the shortstop. Freeze cuts in front of him. The throw is low, but Suzuki digs it out. And Big Clue takes a big, deep breath of relief. Gene Freeze cut right in front of Louis Aparicio, who is ready to field the ball. For the Yankees in the bottom of the fourth, no runs, one hit. No White Sox errors. One man left to score at the end of four full innings. The Yankees one run on six hits and no errors, and the White Sox no run on one hit and no errors.
Now, once again, this is Bob Delaney, and we're on the go again with the rest of the ball game brought to you by the Atlantic Refining Company and your Atlantic dealer, who offer you Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean.
Atlantic keeps your car on the go. For business or pleasure in any kind of weather, Atlantic keeps your car on the go.
When you want to go places and do things, your driving can be
for quality products and not service. Your Atlantic dealer is a man to see. Atlantic keeps your car on the go. Keep on the go with Atlantic.
1-0
ball game in favor of New York, and Charm Lawler, who so far has the only hit off Whitey Ford, is first to face him now in the fifth inning. Sherm swings at a ground ball on two big bounces to third. McDougal has it throws over to first to Charlotte, and Lawler is out by a running stride. Whitey has gotten everybody since Lawler got that single with one out in the second inning. The only time Whitey let anybody on was with one down in the second. He walked freeze, and then Lawler got the hot line drive off Mike Dugal's draw. Now we have Al Smith, right hand hitting right fielder. Outfield shades him around toward left. Takes a quick curve in there for a call strike. The top of the arm end for the White Sox, Minoso 31, and Smith is at the plate 27. Cuccinello coaching over at third. John Guthridge coaching at first. Strike one pitch is low inside for a ball. One and one. Sharon, Richardson, Kubek, and McDougal. The infield. Lopez, Mantle, and Maris, the outfield. Howard catching. And Whitey Ford is ready to pitch one and one. Does low inside ball two.
Reminder that this is Quality Modern WOKO 1460 on your radio dial.
His partners are Umont Drummond, who is a freshman umpire, and then the senior umpire of this group, who's also the senior umpire now of the entire league staff, Charlie Berry. It's an ideal night for the ball game, and we've got two ideal clubs starting out a big four-game series. Smith hits a ground foul. 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Man, this is some week, isn't it? White Sox tomorrow win versus Coach. And then Wednesday evening, and then Thursday afternoon, and then Cleveland Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Ladies' Day, and a doubleheader Sunday. Yes, sir, yes, sir. 2-2 pitch. Swung on and foul down into the left field stand. Count holds. So there's the score, 1-0 New York. That Baltimore club is really rolling. 10-3 at Washington, with Washington at Baltimore. They're leading now 4-0 in fact of young Chuck Estrada. As Mr. Singer would say, this Estrada throws a small baseball. Woo! Mighty pitchers, and Smith hits a high pop fly. The first baseman Scarron says, leave it to me. He makes the grab, and we have two men out. There is Louis Aparicio. Simply electrified the stadium when he almost went over to third base and took a hot drive, which was a short base hit, until he came up with it away from Mattel. This is the little fellow who is the master of the stolen base. His great running speed. Stole 56 last year. And he's been the American League stolen base leader for the last 4 years. Stolen 13 this year. Takes the pitch. Over for a call strike just above the knee. You can ask Al Lopez one question, and you won't have to ask him anything else for half an hour. And that question is, if Aparicio hits, say, around 300, wait, there's a base hit for him in the center field. So he's on. Second hit off Whitey. Lopez's point is, if Aparicio was hitting in the 300s instead of down in the 200s and was on base that much more, Lopez will point out to you that he'd break all the tire carpets all the base records. Well, now, let's see. Aparicio is on. Two men are out. The pitcher, Pierce, is the batter. Whitey Ford is a very hard man to steal on because you can't get a lead on him. Aparicio goes off first. Whitey's watching him, and Whitey throws over there. I'll tell you how good Aparicio is, and I'll quote Mr. Single. I heard him say last year that Aparicio can steal on any pitch in the league. There's a ground ball hit back off Whitey's glove to the shortstop. Two back to steps on second. Aparicio is fourth. You score that 1-6 because the pitcher touched the ball. Charge appears for the fourth out. No run, one hit. Score and 4.5 innings. The Yankees won, and the White Sox nothing.
Are you really satisfied with the way your car has been acting lately? Maybe it's nothing you can actually put your finger on. More frequent stalling, perhaps, or rough idling, less miles per gallon. Now, your trouble could be a dirty carburetor, something that can happen to any car, even a relatively new one. You see, exhaust fumes and other air contaminants get by your air cleaner and build up deposits on the carburetor wall near the throttle plate. Even a small amount of these deposits can cause the throttle plate to feed an improper mixture of air and gasoline to your engine. And the result is rough performance and actual gasoline waste. But now you can eliminate the problems caused by a dirty carburetor with new Atlantic Imperial gasoline. Atlantic Imperial actually cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean. So, to end stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste due to a dirty carburetor, use Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that adds pleasure to your driving and keeps your car on the go.
Pierce on the mound. He's behind in this 1-0 ball game, and but for Aparicio, he'd be even more so. He might not even be in the game without Aparicio. Lawler back of the plate, one of the real smart catching heads in the trade. Lopez takes the curve in for a strike. Hector has had 12 hits on out of his last 22 at-bats. Strike two. Suzuki at first, Fox is at second, Aparicio is at short, and the third baseman is Dean Freeze. This is his first game at the stadium. The first time the Sox came through, he was back in Chicago with a bad leg. And you know, they got him during the winter from the other league, Philadelphia. Pitch is low inside, ball one. 1-2. Minoso in left field. Landis in center. Smith is in right. Bill Dickey, his birthday. It's also the birthday of Dan Daniel, the World Telegram's son. Dickey coaching at first. Frank Rossetti coaching at third. 1-2 pitch is swung on and grounded off of the third baseman's glove and into left field. And Lopez is around first and holds on as Aparicio goes out there and retrieves the ball. Boy, he hustles. Well, they can't seem to get Lopez out. When I set off the third baseman's glove, Freeze made a dive even to touch the ball. It was a base hit. So this is 13 hits out of the last 23 official at-bats for Lopez. 7 hits so far of Pierce, and here is Marich, who is 1-for-1. Marich brings it to ball foul in the right field corner. Yankees is 1 run, 7 hits to no errors. The White Sox, no run, 2 hits to no errors. Strike one pitch, swung on and foul back. Strike two. Strike. 1-0 New York. Now swinging, fouls this one back. Count holds. pitches. Merrick swings as a ground ball to Fox, who tags Lopez close to first in time for the double play. Fox is playing in his 715th consecutive game. A couple years ago, he set the record for endurance at second base. In a double play, Fox gets the put out and the set. Now we have Bill Cowan, who drove in the Yankee run in the third inning, single to left. Swinging and not getting a slider. Strike one. Pitch is a high fly ball hit out into center field where Mr. Landis is waiting and makes the catch. That is it. One hit, nobody left, thanks to the DP. The 5, 1-0 New York. We have one other game in the league. It's at Baltimore, and the first place Orioles are leading 4-0 over Washington. Kat, K-A-A-T, is pitching for Washington, and Estrada, E-S-T-R-A-D-A, is pitching for Baltimore. We have one game scheduled in the National League, Philadelphia St. Louis. Short versus Jackson, starting pitcher. Bob Shepard is talking on the PA to the thousands out here that tickets for every game in the year are available. And of course, you can get your seat either at the stadium. The Yankee downtown ticket office, mezzanine, Grand Central, or by mail, or by going into any one of the 12 Weber and Hausmann stores in Greater New York. Well, we've got some big ones coming up. And this week is something. Now, the start of the sixth inning, and it's the top of the White Sox batting order, Jim Landis. Whitey Ford pitches a slider, low and side, ball one. Landis has, on his two previous trips, been thrown out by third baseman McDougal. Pitch is high and side, ball two. Despite the fact that we've had 9 hits in the game and 2 walks, the way these pitches are going, and with the tendency of these batters that hit the first good pitch knowing that they're not going to get many, this way 5 innings and a little more than an hour and a quarter. There's a call strike, and it's now 2 balls, 1 strike. Landis is a fellow who can fly. He can really run. Two balls, one strike. Swung on, a high foul comes back, out of play. 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. That is how it signs. Now pumps, delivers, and Landis throws it foul up on top of the stand back to third base. Every so often, the question arises, seeing that ball go up on top of the stands, has a fair ball ever been hit out of Yankee Stadium? And the answer is no. Mantle came the closest 2 years ago when he hit one off Ramos. That's the one who hit the top of the stands out there in right field. He just missed it by a couple of feet. Now, a young statistician, Mr. Keith Callison,
gotten around, man. And when I said where Mal hit it, he looked up there as if he didn't quite believe the old redhead. And the pitch is inside, ball four. Whitey gives up his second walk. And this lets the first man up get on. That's a tying run. Yankees leading 1-0. And here is Fox, who is pretty adept at getting the fellow over. Nelson is way off of his pace. He's been slumping for him. He's hitting in the 270s. And by this time of the year, he's usually in the 340s. All right. The Yankees have to be ready to defend against anything from a bunt up. McDougal in close. There's a throw to first. They got him off by a mile. Starn runs in towards second. Throws the ball to Kubek. Kubek runs him back. Throws the ball to Whitey. Whitey runs him back and tags it out. Man, Atlantis was going to go. You never saw a fella pitch off so far in your life. Ford just laughed and laughed and threw over to first base. I think Whitey picked him off so much as Landis just went before Whitey committed himself at all. So, let's take care of that. That was 1-3-6-1. So, now things are different. Manager Lopez comes out of the Chicago dugout. And the only reason I can think of that he'd be up there talking with Knapp is he must be claiming that Whitey didn't go ahead and pitch. Lopez and played on by Knapp. Now they have ended their discussion, and I would hazard the opinion that that was what Lopez went up there about. Now, Fox is up there to play on his own, and the Yankees have their normal defense against him. Nelson swings, hits the line drive out to Maddox, who makes the catch, and I think it was significant. Before I could say it, I noticed that Maddox was playing a very shallow center field. Now we have two outs. And here is Minnie Minoso. We go for two. The shadings and the gradations of Major League ball is so acute. The positioning of the defensive man. Maddox plays solid just now. Right now he's playing deep on Minoso. All these things have a bearing. But if there's anything that is typical in detail, curve, low inside, ball one. It is this business of the bulk move of pitchers. Man, there's so much about it. Whitey delivers, and Minoso swings above a downer, and it's 1-1. We had two bulk moves called out here at the stadium. One against Bittmar and one against Wilhelm. And one was because that with a runner at first base, Bittmar moved an elbow. Just a little. And the one on Wilhelm was because he moved his knee. With a man at first, the only thing a pitcher can move is his head. Otherwise, he's entitled to look at the runner with a head bar. Change of pace is low, ball two. And this year in the American League, they have definitely tightened up on which way does the pitcher's foot go with a man at first. In other words, if you're going to throw to first base, your foot has got to come generally toward first. You can't step toward the plate and throw to first. That's the ball. And vice versa. 2-1 pitch is swung on and missed. Curveball. Minoso goes down to his knees with the force of his swing. 2-2. All right, 1-0 New York. runs, and Manosa takes one almost at his back foot. Of course, his back foot is very far off the plate. Actually, there's a part of Manosa hanging over the strike zone where he crowds the plate when he crouches. All right, three balls, two strikes. Manosa has quite an open pad, real footed, right up there on the plate. 3-2 pitch is called strike three, a change of pace. Manosa drops the bat on the plate, turns and looks at Knapp, and umpire Knapp just walks away. Manosa still standing. Now he's slowly backing out to left field and tips his cap to Knapp. Well, good morning, Judge. So, the score at the end of 5.5 innings. The Yankees won, and the White Sox nothing. As we move along into the last half of the sixth inning, Mickey Mantle is first up. Mickey's 0-2, but the reason he didn't have a base hit his last trip was that marvelous play when Aparicio dove into the hole between his position and third and came up with the ball. And then bang-bang, got a force of second. Took the hit away from Mickey. He could have never made the play on Mantle had there not been that he had to go to first base. Mickey brings and lunges it into left field for a solid base hit. Aparicio couldn't get that one. He hit right over his head. Fine thing of the left. This is hit number 8 to New York. And the hits have been collected by 7 different batters. Hector Lopez has 2. Now we have Howard, who doubled into the right field corner in the second inning. Second baseman Fox comes over to the mound, checks something with Pierce. Returned to first. Big Suzuki is standing there at the inside corner of the bag. Howard hit the triple ball in front of the plate. The catcher's up with it close to first, and Howard is out, and Mantle, of course, has moved on down to second. That was 2-3. Cut the ball over the first base from Suzuki. The McDougald, who's 0-2, and Fox is again coming in from second base to talk to Pierce. They could be discussing pickoff play. McDougald up a right hand batter. The shortstop Aparicio's got to stay over there, straight away position. So it's up to Fox, who's the second baseman, to play closer to the bag in the attempt to hold Mantle on. And that must have been it, because I noticed that Fox got a wave from Lopez. Curveball is low inside, ball one. Fox's problem is to try and nudge into second base to cut out on Mantle's lead, and then when Pierce has committed himself to pitching, to simply dodge back to his straightaway fielding quite a second. And Pierce steps off. He's done a pretty good job of keeping Mantle on the short range. You might say to yourself, well, what difference does it make if you take the lead at second? It can make the difference between on a base hit, for example, a certain type of hit, whether you go to third or score. Pitch. A slow curve over for a called strike. 1-1. One ball, one strike. Another reason for cutting down a lead on a fellow like Mantle, who's fast, is you might prevent him stealing. If he gets a big lead, feels he can make it, he might just go right on over. And there he goes, and he's cut off. He's cut off base. So Mickey's cut off base, and he'll run him over and throws the ball to Fox, who tries him out. Well, try to get that big lead and go for third. That was Wayne, and he did the same thing that Landis did. So all Pierce had to do was back off the rubber and then run over until he got close enough to make Mickey commit himself and drove him back to second. So Mantle is picked off. Pitcher to the second base. Sure, they got to pick off each way in the sixth inning. And it's still a 1-0 ball game. McDougal is up there with the ball and a strike count. Pitch is a curve swung on and hit down to short. Aparicio is up with it. Fires over to first in front of the time, and that's it. So we've had pickoff plays, breaks the back of a possible scoring inning for each side. So this is the end of six. The Yankees, one run. 8 hits and no error. And for the White Sox, no runs, 2 hits and no error. This is the fourth meeting of the two teams this year. The Yankees are trying to win one from Chicago. At the end of 4 innings, it is now Baltimore 5. And Washington nothing. At the end of an inning, it is Philadelphia 2, St. Louis nothing, and those are the only other games. I believe it's indicated. A pause for station identification.
Quality Modern WOKO 1460 on your radio dial here in the capital city, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 9:30.
Inning 7. It's a squeaker. 1-0 in favor of the Yankees. And Ted Suzuki will be first up. Then Gene Freeze, then Sherman Lawler. Ford working on a two-hitter. Mighty Krzyzewski. Well, what a World Series he had. Outfield deep, round toward right. Big man handling that bat is worth weighed no more than a dry feather. Pitch is a slider on the outside, ball one. Krzyzewski was a football player at Indiana. He had 2 more years of eligibility left when he signed with Cincinnati. Played pro ball. Swings and fouls it into the bag. 1-1. Nine other teams in the Big Ten rejoiced when Crew didn't play the other 2 years. Ooh, that's a big man and fast with it. Move around. Take low, ball two. He had a lot of back trouble at Cincinnati, and then they dealt him to Pittsburgh, and he had a lot of back trouble over there. And I guess he just rested enough to where he got it well. He hadn't had any back trouble since he came to the White Sox last year. Fastball is in there. Ball, second strike. 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. The White Sox know I've got the last name of the players on the back of the shirt that's above the number. And biggest position back here, they take about all that space to get that spelling up there, too. Curveball is inside. Ball three. Krzyzewski threw it far away and thought it was ball four. Started the first base. That's why I had to back his stick and Clue's laughing. He's a wonderful good-natured fellow. All right, 3-2. Whitey shakes off Howard. Now accepts the second time. Pitches, and through swinging, hits a ball up for third base. They dribble up with a cross to first. Just in time. Just is up. Just in time. Bang bangers this evening.
The Yankee run is still holding up. They got it in the third inning when one out, Lopez single, first of his two hits tonight. Maris threw a walk, which is the only one given up up here, so then Sarin singled and Lopez was delivered. And then came Aparicio's play, which really stopped it when he took the hit away from Mantle. Up now is James Reeves, who has a walk and been thrown out from short. Takes a pitch low inside, ball one. First year in the league. Change of pace is hit foul outside third base. Freeze, of course, tried to run first, and he can run. His manager says that he can run right along with Landis and Aparicio, which surprised me. And one ball, one strike. Not too deep. Freeze can hit the long ball. Go inside. Ball two. Whitey Ford standing on the mound. As Billy Jenkins says, the pitcher was the know-how. Change of pace is going on. Down is straight to McDougal. It's his third. They throw over to Sean. He's there by 2 steps. Yellow's been pretty busy down there tonight. Plays. There's Sean Lawler, who is one for two. He got the first of two hits off Whitey. Put the line drive off McDougal's glove. Second inning. And then Gil threw him out in the fifth. Slatter is in there for a strike. Whitey is really changing around, changing speed. Base is low outside, ball one. A real intelligent pitcher doesn't allow a ball club to catch up with it. In other words, you pitch him maybe one pattern for the first three or four innings. Just about the time they've hit at you twice and think they've got it, well, then you change your pattern. There's a foul back. Back two. One and two. Strike. Ford defending his 1-0 lead. Got two outs. Seventh inning. Change of pace is foul back. One and two. Swing from the end. Square stance. Swings and lines it into left field. It's his second hit. It's a clean single. All Lopez can do is come over and pick up the ball off the ground and throw it in. This is the third hit now off Whitey. Two by Lola. Nice first. And here's Al Smith, who is 0 for 2. Smith is a much more dangerous hitter than the figures on him ever indicate. Right hand batter. Two down, Starrin holding first base. There's a ball that is hit out to Lopez, and he makes the catch. Six
and a half innings. The Yankees won, and the White Sox nothing.
So how much does it cost to clean a carburetor? Well, for regular users of New Atlantic Imperial gasoline, not a penny. That's because New Atlantic Imperial is especially designed to clean your carburetor as you drive. Yes, with your very first tankful, New Atlantic Imperial starts to remove those troublesome deposits that normally collect on the carburetor walls. Make it a habit to use New Atlantic Imperial gasoline in your car. Do away with stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste caused by a dirty carburetor. That's Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean. Tony Kubek leads off of the Yankees as we go to the bottom of the seventh.
And here are the attendance figures. Paid is 24,018. 24,018 paid. Which puts the Yankees just about at the 400,000 mark at home paid this year. We've got Tony Kubek to lead it off, last of the seventh, then the pitcher Ford, and then Richardson. Philip Hill's on the mound for Chicago, delivers, and it's a slider out over for a call strike. These two pitchers have both been really going. The Yankees have been pecking away at Pierce, but they've been unable to munch their hit. Ford's given up three hits. Pierce has shot at eight. The Yankees have had at least one base hit in every inning. Two in the first, two in the third, and in the third they got their run. 1-1 pitch is a call, second strike, serve ball. Just above the knees on the outside. Kubek got his hit a very deft bunt, which he pushed along the third baseline when he caught three deep in the fourth inning. Low outside. Ball two, turn two. Two strikes. Early win goes to Chicago tomorrow, and Jim Coates goes to New York at 2 o'clock. Kubek hits a high pop-up. The shortstop Aparicio is floating under behind third. Now in foul ground and squeezes for the out. And here is a hand that is growing for Whitey Ford. Field's left-handed pitcher promptly curves him over for a call strike. Whitey had a long fly ball to the right field in the second inning, and then was thrown out to second base into the pitcher covering at first in the fourth. Curve is outside, too much. Ball one. One ball, one strike. Whitey swinging, fouls it back into the stand. One and two. Boy, the wheels are going to be turning around this place this week. Pierce. Now we have Bobby Richardson. He's some little ball player. You know, first game out here yesterday. I know that double play ended it and Chance did great pitching. But if Richardson had been hustling and backed up play at first base in that ninth inning, it would have been a different story. Chance in trying to field a bunt that had gone for a base hit through the ball wild, and it was Richardson who backed it up. And the tying runner, who was on for the Red Sox, had to stop at third. Bobby hadn't made the play, he'd have scored. Pitches over for a call strike, 1-1. Those are the things that are so important. Can't see him in a box score. 1-1 pitch, swung on and fouled up and back. Let's see. Lawler coming back, he's got a chance. He got it. Okay. Still, score at the end of 7. The Yankees won and the White Sox nothing.
Ever hear of a gasoline that doubles as a mechanic? In a way, Atlantic Imperial gasoline does just that. Here's how. When you drive, exhaust fumes and other air contaminants escape your air cleaner and collect in the carburetor in the form of deposits. Even a small amount of deposit can cause an improper mixture of air and gasoline. Now, when this happens, stalling, rough idling, and actual gasoline waste results. Now, one way to handle a dirty carburetor is to get under the hood and clean it manually. But why to go to all that trouble? And it is plenty of trouble, and the expense too, when Atlantic Imperial does that job for you without even raising the hood. Atlantic Imperial actually cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean. With a clean carburetor, you get a proper mixture of gasoline and air. You'll enjoy smooth engine performance and greater gasoline economy. Give it a try. Use Atlantic Imperial gasoline to keep your car on the go.
And this one is a dandy here at the Yankee Stadium. A 1-0 ball game. The Yankees lead. As we get ready to go in the top of the 8th inning, Louis Aparicio will lead off. Looks like Roy Seaver's on deck, swinging a couple of bats, and he'll be batting for Billy Pierce. Aparicio has slide to center and single to center. Little fellow who leads the American League in stolen bases with 13. The pitch is low, ball one. Louis had 56 stolen bases last year and has led the American League 4 years in a row. The 1-0 pitch is lying at center field, another base hit, and now look out. That ball almost popped over Mantle's head. This should be interesting. The league's leading base dealer and the best pickoff artist in baseball right now, Whitey Ford, against each other. Aparicio at first, Ford on the mound, and here's Roy Seavers batting for Billy Pierce. Seavers is batting just .212. He has 5 doubles, 3 homers, and 13 runs batted in. Nobody out. Pitch to Seavers is popped in the air to the infield. Richardson calling for it. And makes the catch. And Bobby gave it the Willie Mays basket catch that time. First time I've ever seen Richardson do that. Actually, Richardson might have been trying to just drop that ball and let Seavers get on first and get Aparicio at second. That would have been a smart play. But, of course, Bobby had to look out. The ball was so high. If he had let it drop, it might have kicked far enough away to let all hands be safe. One away, and here's Jim Landis. Landis bounced to third twice and walked, then was picked off first. 1-0 the Yankees lead. We're in the top of the 8th inning. Whitey Ford has allowed just 4 hits. Meanwhile, the Yankees have gotten 8 hits, but only 1 run off Billy Pierce, who is now out of the game. Here's a stretch by Whitey. Throw to first base, Aparicio back, but that was not Whitey's good move. Here's a stretch. A look at the runner. The pitch is pop foul down the right field line, strike one. Aparicio has stolen his last 12 bases in a row without being thrown out. The only time that he was thrown out, he was caught when he attempted to score on a squeeze play and the batter missed the punt. All 13 stolen bases have been
of second base. Time is called as Aparicio goes to Don Gutteridge to check the sign. A possible hit and run sign or bunt sign. White Sox trying to tie up this ball game. One strike on Jim Landis. Here's a stretch. The pitch is outside and Landis was ready to bunt. And that looked like a pitch out. One and one to count. Landis steps way out of the batter's box to look down at Tony Cuccinello coaching at third. And now Nellie Fox comes over to talk with Landis. Boy, the White Sox really want to make sure they don't miss any signs. Especially at this stage of the game. Every play is a big one from here on in. One ball, one strike, one out. Starrin holding first against Aparicio. Here's a stretch. The throw to first base, but Aparicio is back. So this is a real duel between Ford and Louis. Again, the stretch. Aparicio dancing off first. The pitch to the plate is high. Ball two. Two and one. Now, this is one of the few times that we've ever seen Whitey Ford a little bit bothered by any runner at first base. On the count. Cuccinello flashing signs down at third. The stretch. The pitch, there he goes. The ball is popped over fullback pad. There goes Aparicio to third. And Landis is on with a single. The throw comes in and Landis is down at second base. And there was heads up base running by the Chicago White Sox. On a hit and run play, Landis popped a short single in a left field. He rounded first, went halfway down the line. Aparicio easily moved to third. Lopez figuring that Louis might try to go all the way. Fired to the plate. McDougal cut it off, but Landis kept right on going and went into second. And so now the White Sox have runners at second and third with only one out. And the batter, Nellie Fox. Fox has flied three times to center field, twice on the line and once deep. The Yankees lead 1-0. With the exception of McDougal, the infield is back. If Fox pulls the ground ball, the score will be tied. Jim Landis is at third. Louis Aparicio is at, rather, Landis is at second and Aparicio at third. Here's the windup. The pitch to Fox. Popped in the air just in back of the infield. Hector Lopez under it. And makes the catch. Aparicio cannot score. And Nellie Fox pops out to short left field. And Aparicio has to hold third. Time is called, and Ralph Houck is coming out to the mound. Houck is coming out to the mound. Man, what a spot that was, and that's something you very seldom see, Fox popping up in a spot like that. Not that he hits the ball far, but he usually hits the ball on the line. With two out now, runners at second and third, the batter due to come up, rather that will be up, is Minnie Minoso. And on deck is Ted Kozuski. Let's see how the Yankees play this. Whether they'll put Minoso on and pitch to Kozuski. Just what Houck said. All right, Minoso steps into the batter's box. He has flied to center, popped to short, and struck out. Elston Howard kneels down to give the sign. Looks like they're going to pitch to Minnie. Here's the windup. Pitch, curve, inside. Ball one. One thing for sure, Whitey's not going to try and give him anything too good to hit with first base open and a left-hand batter coming up. 1-0, the Yankees lead in the top of the eighth. The windup, slow curve foul over into the White Sox dugout. Strike one, one and one. Whitey shakes off one sign, another. Now the windup. Fastball foul down the third baseline. One ball, two strikes on Minoso. Johnny James is loosening up in the Yankee bullpen. Louis Aparicio at third and Jim Landis at second. 1-0 the Yankees lead, top of the eighth. 2 men are out. Here's the windup. Slow curve popped in the short center field. And it drops in there for a base hit. And both runs score. Minnie Minoso dropped a little Texas leaguer between Richardson, who was drawn back, and Mantle, who was coming in. And Aparicio and Landis score, and the White Sox lead 2-1. And here's Ted Krasuski with Minoso at first and two outs. The stretch by four. The pitch, curveball, low, ball one. Boy, how about that, huh? Ford gets by the tough hitter. He's got just as tough a hitter in Minoso, but Minnie just pops the ball in short center field. Fastball swung and a miss, strike one, one and one. One ball, one strike, and two outs. Two runs in. About a tough luck pitcher this year. That's Whitey Ford. Throw to first base, and Minnie's back just in time. He was almost picked off. One and one to count. Pitch to Clue is swung and a miss. Strike two. Krasuski bounced to second, struck out, and bounced to third. He has not hit the ball hard so far tonight. Curve popped in the air to left field. Hector Lopez moving under it and makes the catch. And that's all for the White Sox, but not before they come through with two runs on three base hits. No Yankee errors and one man left in the score at the end of 7.5 innings. The White Sox 2 and the Yankees 1.
You know, a clean carburetor gives smoother driving performance. So use new Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean. Say, all you outboard racing fans, don't forget, if you're traveling in the North Country during this month, plan to see that big Thousand Island International Outboard Marathon, June 11th and 12th in Alexandria Bay. Something to look forward to.
Chicago White Sox, making his 20th appearance of the year, is Jerry Staley, who has won 5 and lost 1, 6 feet tall, 185 pounds, from Vancouver, Washington. While Staley's loosening up, let's pause for station identification. Pitched seven innings, giving up eight hits. He walked only one, struck out only one, and allowed one run. So Pierce could be the winning pitcher of this game. He could not be the losing pitcher. Billy pitched a fine ball game. And Staley will be facing Hector Lopez, Roger Maris, and Bill Scarron here in the bottom of the eighth inning with the White Sox leading 2-1. The windup by Jerry Staley. The pitch to Lopez is hit on the ground of the shortstop. Aparicio on two hops. Goes to Kozuski, one away. Hector is now 2-for-4 on the night. And a batter now, Roger Maris, who singled, walked, and hit into a double play. Staley was in 67 ball games. He won eight and lost five. Had an earned run average of 2.25. The windup by the right-hander. Pitch to Maris is fouled over towards the Yankee dugout. Right into the dugout, as a matter of fact. Strike one. Staley right now has a 1.10 earned run average. One strike pitch, knuckleball, hit foul outside of first, strike two. Batters like to get up there against Staley because he's not fast and he does look easy to hit. That is until once you get up to the plate. Throws that sinker ball, keeps everything low. He's got the good knuckleball and good control. Nothing in two on Roger Maris. On deck is Bill Scarron. Here's a two-strike pitch. Knuckleball low outside, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Ball pop foul back in the upper deck and out of play. Staley ready again with a new baseball. The windup pitch just outside. Ball two, 2-2. White Sox speed on the base pass has paid off tonight. So far, anyway, this ball game's not over yet by a long shot. The 2-2 pitch.
A drive deep to right field, way, way, way back. A home run for Roger Maris. His 15th home run of the year, and against the White Sox, his third home run of the year. The knuckleball to Scarron, inside, ball one. Roger Maris now leads the major leagues in home runs with 15. Man, did he hit that one high and far. The pitch to Scarron, inside, ball two, 2-0. Maris has now hit 11 homers in his last 19 games. What a year that Maris is having. For Roger, his 37th run batted in. He leads the American League in that department. The pitch is foul to the third base side, knocked down by Crosetti. Two balls, one strike on the Moose. Two balls, one strike, one out, ball game tied, 2-2 here in the bottom of the eighth. On deck, Mickey Mantle. The pitch is hit slowly to third base, freeze in. Up with it, throws to Krasuski in time for the out, and Cruz sits down after taking the wide toss. Two away, and here comes Mickey Mantle. Bailey's pitch to Mantle is a base hit to right field. Mantle lines a single to right field on the first pitch. Second hit off Bailey. Here's Elston Howard. Howard doubles, pops it short, and bounced out in front of the plate. Five stolen bases leads the Yankees in that department. Two men are out. Here's a stretch by Staley. There goes Mantle. The ball is taken. The throw to second. Safe at second. He steals the base. Nellie Fox is arguing. Steals his sixth base of the year without being thrown out. Six for six for Mantle. And let me tell you, Mickey did not have a big jump at first base. He had a very small lead. But man, he picked up speed. The pitch to Howard was a strike. And Nellie Fox was fuming down at second base. Nellie thought he had Mickey. All right, here's the stretch. Pitch to Howard. A ground ball to third. Frees up with it. Over to Krasuski to get Elston Howard. We go into the ninth inning with the score tied 2-2. For the Yankees in the bottom of the eighth, one run on two base hits. No White Sox. There is one man left to score at the end of eight full innings. The White Sox 2 and the Yankees 2. And Roger Maris gets a tremendous hand as he moves out to right field. Take a quick look at the scoreboard in the American League. Baltimore leads Washington 5-0 at the end of six. Lee, who came on in the fifth inning, is in there for the Senators against Estrada. The National League, the Phillies lead the Cardinals 2-0 at the end of three and a half. Chris Short against Larry Jackson. For the Yankees, a couple of changes. Tony Kubek moves from shortstop to left field. Cletus Boyer comes in to play shortstop.
Reminder that the Chicago-New York Yankee game is coming your way over Quality Modern WOKO 1460 on your radio dial here in the capital city of Albany, New York.
Two to score here at Yankee Stadium as we go into the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees scored once in the third inning. And a single by Lopez, a walk to Maris, and a single by Scarron is driving the run. And as you heard, there other run in the bottom on the eighth. In the top of the eighth. On two singles. And then Landis advanced to second on Lopez's throw-in. Minoso single with two outs to drive in both runs. Here's Gene Freeze, who walked, bounced to short, and bounced to third. Curve is hit on the ground to McDougal. Right through his legs to left field. Freeze around first and then holds on as Kubek comes up with the ball in a hurry. McDougal started it and the ball went back on it and it bounced right between Gill's legs. He's charged with an error. And McDougal is not happy down at third base. That's what you call letting the ball play you. One of the few times we've seen that happen to Gill. He started in, then went back, and the ball took the short hop right. He never touched his glove right between his legs. Here's Jim Lotto, who is 2-for-3. Two singles and a bounce out to third base. Dowen holding first against Freeze. There's a stretch by Whitey Ford. The pitch, low outside, almost a wild pitch, ball one. Nice play by Howard. The pitchers of record right now are Jerry Staley for the White Sox, Whitey Ford for the Yankees. Billy Pierce can either be the winning or losing pitcher in the ball game. Same thing happened to Billy last time he pitched against the Yankees. Time is called. Whitey Ford was taking a little too long out on the mound. Lawler stepped out of the box, called for F for time from Larry Knapp, the plate umpire. Here's the stretch by Whitey. The pitch. Slow curve, foul, back on the screen. 1-1 on Lala. One ball, one strike, nobody out. Score tied here, 2-2. We're in the top of the ninth. Time is called again, just as Ford gets ready to pitch. Had taken a quick look down at Cuccinello coaching at third. Here's the stretch. The pitch, pitch out. The throw to second is high and freezes in with a stolen base. They had the play diagnosed perfectly as Howard called for the pitch out, but his throw was high to Richardson and Freeze slid under the tag. A stolen base for Gene Freeze, his fourth of the year. And now it's a two-ball, one-strike count on Lala. And now the Yankees have to be on the lookout for a possible sacrifice attempt. Here's the stretch. The pitch, he takes the curve over strike two. He was ready to bunt that ball and then pulled his bat back. That was very unusual. There was a lot of noise, and just as the pitch came in, everybody shut up and I started yelling. 2-2 to count on Lala. That was a big pitch for Whitey Ford. Here's the stretch. The pitch. Curve hit. Hey, Boyer knocks it down, but he can't make a play. Yet he held Freeze from going to third. A brilliant diving, sliding knockdown of a hard hit ground ball by Cletus Boyer held Gene Freeze at second. The ball kicked off the end of his glove. It's an infield single for Lala, his third hit of the ball game, and the seventh hit off Whitey Ford. And now with runners at first and second, and nobody out, the batter Al Smith. The Yankees have a huddle out on the mound with Howard, McDougal, and Ford. It looked like Boyer dove about 10 feet through the air, got his glove on the ball. Freeze was undecided as to whether to go or not. The ball kicked away about 6 feet from Boyer, who got up quickly, grabbed the ball. Freeze hustled back to second. Lala easily beat out the ball. With the score tied 2-2 in the top of the ninth, the White Sox are threatening again. And now Bobby Richardson moves in from second base to talk with Whitey Ford. First, Freeze at second. Here's the stretch. Collins coming in. They throw to second base, but Freeze is back. Yankees tried a tricky play there. Collins came charging in, make him think that Ford was going to pitch to the plate, and then Richardson cut over to second base. But Freeze was ready. All right, now the stretch. The pitch is bunted up in the air, but Howard can't get it, nor can McDougal. The ball was bunted just between home and third base, and not too high up in the air.
One strike on Al Smith. White Sox trying to get their men in scoring position with one away. Whitey Ford rubbing up the ball out on the mound. Garin is in at first, McDougal in at third. Boyle holding threes close to second. Here's the stretch. The throw to first base, but Lawler is back. Again, the Yankees tried that play with Garin breaking two steps in, then back to first. Smith steps out of the box, asks for time. Again, the stretch by Whitey. Pitch. Bunted down third. A good buck, but a kick foul. With McDougal back, Smith tried to butt the ball hard down to third, which is a good play. You're assured of sacrificing the runners. But the ball rolls foul. Nothing in two now on Al Smith. Lala tried to bunt, had two strikes on him, then came through with a base hit. And Al Smith has a count of nothing and two on him. Stretch by Whitey. Fastball is a little high, ball one. On deck is Louis Aparicio. Again, the stretch by Whitey. Fastball line foul down the left field corner. Smith got the wood on that one and really got around on it. Deep down the left field corner, he pulled it foul. Still one ball, two strikes on Al Smith, the White Sox right fielder. Gene Freeze down at second. Sherman Lawler at first. He stretches. Curve is hit on the ground to McDougal. He bobbles the ball. Throws to second. Not in time. All hands are safe. All hands are safe. A ground ball that bounced off McDougal's chest. Gill picked it up. He's charged with another error. His second of the inning. And all hands are safe. As Gill's throw to second was a little high, and Lala slid in. So Bobby Richardson argued a little bit. The bases are now loaded with nobody out in the battle. Louis Aparicio, who is 2-for-3. Fly to center and single to center twice. The infield is in. They've got to try for this cutoff at the plate with the score tied 2-2. Gene Freeze at third. Lala at second. Smith at first. The outfield playing very shallow. Throw to third, but Freeze is back. Here's the windup. Curve hit on the ground. Off the double ground into left field. One run in. Lawler is held up at third. Gill got in front of that ball, but the ball kicked off his glove in the left field. It goes as a base hit. Base hit for Aparicio, scoring Gene Freeze, and the White Sox take the lead 3-2. The bases are still loaded, and Jerry Staley. No, wait a minute. Let me see who this is. Brown, the catcher, is coming up to bat for Jerry Staley. A weird inning this top of the ninth. Brown is batting just 184. He has three homers and five runs batted in. Big right-hand hitter. The infield still playing in. Lawler at third. Smith at second. Aparicio at first. Nobody out. White Sox lead 3-2. The pitch. Curve hit on the ground to Boyer. He comes to the plate. One out. The throw to first base. Double play. Boy, that was a pretty double play. Cletus Boyer went to his right. Fielded a high hopping ground ball. Fired to Howard for one. And Howard's throw to Scarron got Dick Brown. Play going from 6-2-3. That's one you very seldom see. So now it's two out with runners at second and third. Smith at third, Aparicio at second. And here's Jim Landis, who bounced to third twice, walked and singled a left. Landis has scored once in the ballgame. 3-2, the White Sox lead. The windup by Whitey. Fastball high inside, ball one. The 1-0 pitch. Curve, foul, back on the screen. Strike one, 1-1. One ball, one strike, two outs. The windup by Whitey. Fastball on the inside corner. He was ready to bunt that ball and then held up. Smith started a break and had to hustle back as Howard bluffed the throw down to third. One ball, two strikes, and two outs. Whitey swings into the windup. Fastball line right at Richardson for the out. So the Yankees got out of that one in pretty good shape considering. For the White Sox in the top of the ninth, just one run on two hits. Two Yankee errors, two men left to score at the end of 8.5 innings. The White Sox 3 and the Yankees 2.
Hey, do you have any idea how much it costs to have your carburetor cleaned? Well, now for regular users of New Atlantic Imperial gasoline, there's no charge at all. That's because New Atlantic Imperial is specially designed to clean your carburetor as you drive. Yes, with your very first tank full, New Atlantic Imperial starts to remove the troublesome deposits that normally collect on the carburetor wall. Make it a habit to use New Atlantic Imperial gasoline in your car. Do away with stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste caused by a dirty carburetor. That's Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean.
As we get ready to go in the bottom of the ninth inning, Dick Donovan comes on to take over for Jerry Staley. Staley pitched just one inning, giving up two hits and one run. Didn't strike out anybody or walk anybody. And yet, Staley could be the winning pitcher. And here comes Yogi Berra out to bat for Gil McDougall. Donovan, 6'3", 205 pounds, making his 11th appearance of the year. He's won one and lost one. McDougal was 0-3, had bounced to third and bounced to short twice. Berra coming on is batting .337. Yogi has one double, one triple, five homers, and 19 runs batted in. Yogi standing to the right of home plate, watching Donovan warm up. White Sox lead. We're in the bottom of the ninth.
This is the first game of a big four-game series. Same two teams meet tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday night, and Thursday afternoon. And then the Indians come in for a Friday night game, a Saturday afternoon Ladies' Day game, and a big doubleheader on Sunday. All right, Yogi steps into the batter's box. Donovan goes to the rosin bag. Vinny Minoso is giving Yogi a lot of the left field line and playing quite shallow. Here's the windup by Donovan. Pitch to Yogi. Is over for a strike. Tony Kubek on deck. The windup. The pitch is line to right field. That's a base hit to Yogi. And Barra comes through with a pinch hit single. And the Yankees are fighting back again. They were behind 2-1 in the eighth inning. Maris hit a homer. They were behind 3-2 here in the bottom of the ninth. Barra leads off with a single. Here's Tony Kubek, who bounced the second, beat out a bunt, and popped the short, 1-for-3. And Gene freezes way in at third, looking for the possible sacrifice. On deck is Bob Serve, ready to bat for Whitey Ford. Suzuki holds first against Yogi. Here's the stretch. The pitch is bunted in front of the plate. Donovan goes to first base. Kubek is retired, but Yogi moves in a second on the sacrifice. Play went from the pitcher to the second baseman covering, 1-4. And here's Bob Serve batting for Whitey Ford. Serve batting 256, has two doubles, a triple, eight homers, and 19 runs batted in. Down at second base, Yogi Berra. Serves the batter. Richardson is on deck. One man out in the bottom of the ninth. The White Sox lead 3-2. Donovan stretches and steps off the mound. Now he's ready to stretch again. The pitch to Serve. Low ball one. Yogi's got a good lead off second. Here's the stretch. Pitch to Serve is inside, ball two, 2-0. Dick Donovan goes to the rosin bag. Man, these last two innings have been exciting. Nothing on Serve. Here's a stretch by Donovan. His pitch is fouled off the mask of the plate umpire and kicks right back to the screen. Strike one, 2-1 the count. Larry Knapp checking the mask. Boy, that was hit solid. Donovan rubs up the new ball, taking plenty of time between pitches. Here's the stretch. The pitch is low, ball three, 3-1. Again, the stretch by Donovan. The look back at Yogi. And then Donovan steps off the rubber. Yogi's got a big lead down there at second. Getting a little frisky. All right, again the stretch. The pitch is hit on the ground at third. Freeze up with it. Yogi holds it second. The throw to first in time. Boy, that freeze scares you out there.
But he's got a good arm, but it's not a true arm. At least tonight it hasn't been. He's been throwing him high and low. And Johnny Blanchard is coming up to bat for Bobby Richardson. Third bounces out to third. It's two away. And Johnny Blanchard, who is 0 for 4 this year, coming up to bat for Bobby Richardson with two out in the bottom of the ninth and the Yankees trailing 3-2. Blanchard, the batter. And Torgerson moves out to first base to take over for Ted Suzuki. Earl Torgerson. And Al Lopez is walking out to the mound. And they want Torgerson to throw a couple of balls. But first base umpire Frank Dumont says, no, no, no. No, sir, he said it's not permissible. Well, you learn something every day. Two outs. Vera at second. Bottom of the ninth. The White Sox leading 3-2. Johnny Blanchard batting for Bobby Richardson. Bobby was 1 for 4. Had singled in the first inning. Ready. Donovan checks the sign from Shane Lala. Here's the stretch. The pitch to Blanchard is swung on a missed strike one, a low breaking curveball. Tough spot for young Johnny Blanchard. Donovan sets. The pitch. Curve fouled back on the screen. Strike two. Nothing into the count. Goes to the rosin bag. Time is called. Lala runs out to the mound to talk with Donovan. Lala pats him on the back and hustles back to the catching box. Yogi Berra leading off second base. Here's the stretch by Donovan. The pitch to Blanchard. Low outside, ball one. And Lala, Donovan, and Freeze started to run off the field. They thought the pitch had the corner, but it broke low outside as Larry Knapp tells Al Lopez, who is standing up on the steps of the White Sox dugout. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Donovan sits, checking Yogi at second. The pitch is a ground ball, hit the first. Torgerson off his fingers, up of the throws, in time for the out. As Earl Torgerson knocked that ball down with his bare hand, reached down, picked it up, flipped underhand to Dick Donovan to get Johnny Blanchard. And for the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth, no runs, one hit, no White Sox. There is one man left. The White Sox win the first game of this all-important four-game series, 3-2.
We'll have the totals for you in just a moment. Now let's get Phil Rizzuto with the totals from Pete Allison.
Exciting ball game for the White Sox. Three runs on 8 hits, no errors, 7 men left. For the Yankees, 2 runs, 11 hits, 2 errors, and 8 men left.
The winning pitcher is Jerry Staley in relief, who's now 1-6 and lost one. The losing pitcher, and I might add, tough luck losing pitcher, is Whitey Ford, who has 1-2 and lost four. And the White Sox have won four in a row from the Yankees. It was a tremendous ball game. Well played by both.
Well, that winds up another Yankee baseball game. With the final score, the White Sox 3, the Yankees 2, and a very exciting ball game that I imagine will be replayed a few times. Key plays in the ball game, in the eighth inning particularly, that pretty much wrapped it up on the errors by Gil McDougal. Also, outstanding defensive plays turned in by the White Sox. A fine ball game from start to finish. A little bit tough for Ralph Houk, who is bowing out tonight as manager of the Yankees, as Casey Stengel is expected back tomorrow. And all of a sudden, I don't have a closing here. McFarland, so that we can get ourselves off the air. Do you have something there that's precise? Very good. That winds it up, another Atlantic baseball broadcast, but tune in for more baseball listening tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 1:55. Now this is Bob Delaney saying that's all for now from P. Ballantyne & Sons, brewers of the crisp refresher. Ballantyne Beer, the largest selling beer in the East. And the Atlantic Refining Company and your Atlantic dealer will offer you Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean. Final score again, the White Sox 3, the Yankees 2. This is the home of champions, Network.